Good morning, TGH, and happy new year to you. We are already in the second week of 2021, and it's a pleasure to be before you once again. And God has a word for us this morning, and you'll find it in the book of John. John, the seventh chapter, and we'll be reading the first 10 verses. Please stand for the reading of God's word. And the word of God reads as follows. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come." When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this day. We are thankful, Lord God, that you have blessed us, that you have taken us, Lord, through a very difficult year, 2020. Lord God, they say hindsight is 2020. And Lord God, we would love to look back on 2020, Lord God, and come up with a strategy for 2021 based upon, Lord, all the failures and all the mishaps, Lord God, of 2020, Lord, as if we could somehow, Lord, avoid them. But Lord God, our lives are in your hands. And Lord, we thank you because we know that you are going to lead us through this new year. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that as I deliver this word that you have given me for your people, that you, Lord, would open their understanding. Lord, open their hearts, Lord. Help them to open their hearts that they may receive, Lord, what it is you're saying. And I pray that you will move, Lord God, this man of clay out of the way. And that, Lord, you will speak, Lord, through me. Not my words, not my opinions, because they don't amount to anything. But, Lord, indeed, your word, we pray. And we thank you for these and all things, for we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and one of the things I love to do, and I guess I still love to do it, is watch crime shows. In the 70s, the crime shows weren't very sophisticated. A typical crime show featuring a murder would go something like this. A man would meet his business partner late at night in a deserted parking lot. And he would say to him something like, "Frank, I know exactly what you've been up to. You've been embezzling money from this company to fund your lavish lifestyle. And I have all the evidence right here in this briefcase. And the first thing in the morning, I'm going to the DA and I'm going to blow the lid off of everything." And of course, Frank would say, "Who else knows about this?"
Yeah.
And he would say, "No one but me." And I would say, "You have got to be kidding." Because you know, the next thing that's going to happen, Frank is going to pull out a gun or pull out something. He's going to bash him in the head and take his briefcase. And for those of you who wonder why black people like to talk to movie screens, well, that's why. But It's all about predictability. And that's what we're talking about, being able to predict what happens. I watched a show one time where an agent, for want of a better term, met his handler at a different location than he had before. And he said to him, "Why are we meeting here as opposed to where we used to meet?" And he said something interesting. He said, "Because when you become predictable, you become vulnerable." As I said, that's what we're really talking about, predictability. You can become rich in this country if you're able to predict what's going to happen. If you can predict what people are going to buy. If you can predict what the market is going to do, you can become rich. Predictability. If you, for example, got up in the morning and you left your house at the same time every day, and you went to the same coffee shop to get your coffee at the same time, you got on the same train, you got off work the same time, you got your newspaper from the same place, and you got the same train home, and you walked in your house at the same time every night. I could predict, or I could plan for you. I can plan a surprise party for you, or I can plan to knock you over your head and take your wallet, simply because I know what you're going to do based upon your past patterns. And in our text today, we have an interesting scenario with Jesus, where Jesus reveals secrets to being led by the Spirit, or the importance of being led by the Spirit. Now, in the previous chapter, Jesus had just offended the Jews of Judea by telling them that in order for them to have life, they would have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't speaking literally. He was telling them that in order for you to have spiritual life, the same way the people in, or the Israelites, were given manna to drink, right, and water from the rock, they would have to take his flesh or avail themselves of the sacrifice of his flesh and his blood in order to have spiritual life. Now, this offended them because they didn't understand what he was talking about. So from that time on, they became offended and many did not walk with him. In fact, from that time on, many sought to kill him. And in our text today, that's our first verse says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea. Now, Galilee was a 3 days' journey north of Judea. Judea was heavily under the rabbinic movement, and that place was where Jesus's staunchest adversaries were. Jesus was from Nazareth, which was in Galilee. So, since Jesus knew that they were plotting to kill him, he said, "I'm not going to walk in Judea. I'm going to remain in Galilee." However, it came time for the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is a major event among the Jewish people. It was where they celebrated God taking them through the wilderness and living in tents or tabernacles. And so it was an 8-day festival feast where all Jews were expected to attend, including Jesus. Now, the Jews of Galilee, what they would do is everyone would get together and they would go down with their family. They would travel in a group in caravans with their families, and they expected Jesus to do the same. And so the Jews in Judea, they figured Jesus has got to come. And so they plotted against him. And his brothers, Jesus' brothers, said to him in the third and fourth verses, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." So what they were really saying to Jesus was, if you're really who you say you are, what are you hanging around up here in Galilee? Go down there to Judea and show everybody who you are and what you do. But Jesus said something very interesting to them that tends to get overlooked. In the sixth verse, he said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." As I said, this is a verse that often gets overlooked in this passage, because it's one thing for Jesus to say, you guys go ahead. I'm not going to go yet. I'm not ready to go yet, but you can go. No, he said, your time is always ready. Now, always has implications beyond them simply going to Judea. It's like you get into an argument with your spouse. You know, you leave a dirty dish out or something, and they say, "You always do that," you know, or you know how those arguments start. "You always do this." So, well, we're not talking about just this incident. I'm upset because this is something you always do. So it had implications beyond them simply going to Judea. So Jesus said, "My time is not yet, but your time is always ready." Now, in the Greek, there are two words for time. One is chronos, which is where we get measured time. It's what time do you want to meet for lunch? 12:30. It's a measured time. You know exactly what time to meet. But there's a second word for time called kairos. Now, there is no English equivalent for this word. So the interpreters of scripture, especially the New King James Version and the King James Version, they translated the word as seasons. However, seasons does not do this word justice, because kairos actually means fullness of time. It means the time when everything comes together, the perfect time, when all the factors come together for something to happen. Wanting to know the times is something that we are obsessed with as humans. We want to know exactly when something is going to happen. My grandson, you know, is one of my grandsons. "When you coming to see me?" "I'll be down there at some point. I'll be down to Florida at some point." But when? "It takes too long. I want to know." We want to know exactly when something is going to happen. It is part of our desire for control. Yeah. The more we know about what's going to happen in our lives, the better we can control it, and the better we can mitigate or avoid trouble. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, just before Jesus ascended to the Father, after he had been crucified and rose from the dead, his disciples asked him, he said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They wanted to know when exactly will you free us from Roman rule and establish your kingdom on earth. And Jesus had something interesting to say to him. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, I'm not going to tell you when the exact times that I'm going to move. Just understand this. I'm going to give you power to do exactly what I've called you to do. Just don't worry about exactly when I'm going to do things, because if I did, all you would do is seek to manipulate it and control things. And when he said, the times and the seasons the Father only keeps to himself, he used those two words, chronos and kairos. The measured time or the exact time and the fullness of time. When I bring everything together, I can't let you know these things. You see, the thing we have to understand is that the kingdom of God operates on a divine spiritual schedule where both time and fullness of time work in sync. And the fullness of time determines the exact time. And in this chapter, John 7 gives us an understanding of why God keeps times and seasons to himself and under his divine control. In verse 6, he said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Your time is always ready. Here he uses the word kairos, the fullness of time. The fullness of time for you is always ready. So the question is, why were there no restrictions on Jesus's brother's time? Or shall I say, why were they not guided by divine scheduling as Jesus was? And the answer to that is in verse 5, where it says, for even his brothers did not believe in him. You see, when you join the kingdom of God, when you accept Christ, you then become part of the kingdom of God. God then has you on a divine schedule where he expects you to be led by the Spirit. Why is that? It is because when you join the kingdom of God, you then become a threat to the enemy's kingdom or the kingdom of darkness. And as a result of that, a bullseye is put on you and the enemy plots your demise based upon what he anticipates that you are going to do. And so when Jesus said to his disciples, and I'm sorry, his brothers, he says, your time is always ready. What he was saying was that inasmuch as you are not even a believer in me, you can go, you can move whenever you want to, because you are not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You can go to the feast, you can travel to Judea, you can go anywhere you want to, because there's no one plotting against you, because you're not a threat. However, my time is not yet. My fullness of time is not yet. I must be led by the Spirit. Why was he, did he need to be led by the Spirit? Go back to the first verse. He says, because the Jews sought to kill him. So Jesus did not leave, and you'll find that he eventually did go, but he just did not go when he was expected to go. Unbelievers do not, as I said, operate on a divine schedule. Do you know your most dangerous enemy? Your most dangerous enemy is not the person who walks up to you and says, I have it in for you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to fix you good and I'm going to destroy you. To be honest, I don't mind a person saying that to me because you just told me who you are and I'm going to look out for you. The most dangerous person I find is the person who smiles at you, who is friendly towards you, but all the while they are jealous of you. They don't like you. They are jealous of your position, your influence, your anointing, whatever it is. And they are just, and they won't tell you these things. Monsignor Clark once said, diplomacy is merely the art of saying nice doggy until you can grab a stick. And people are like that. They will nice doggy you to death and make you think that everything's all right until they can stick that proverbial knife right in your back. And so these types of people, they don't tell you they don't like you or they hate you. They simply plot against you. And in the kingdom of darkness, there are plots against God's people, which is why he tells us that he wants us to be led by the Spirit. Now, the one thing you have to understand about Satan is that Satan knows about your calling and your destiny even before you do. Why? The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that he was the anointed cherub. Now, cherubs were powerful angels who guarded the glory of God. Satan had an exalted position among the cherubs. So everything went through him, the worship, everything. It was like he was like a chief of staff. And a chief of staff is privy to the information that is passing through them to the chief. And so he has a lot of information. But when he got kicked out of heaven, he didn't suddenly become dumb. He still knows a lot about you and what God has called you to do. But the one thing he does not know, he could not take with him, was the times and the seasons which God kept to himself. So what he has to do is he has to compensate for it. And how does he compensate? He took 1/3 of the angels out of heaven with him. And some of these spirits are called familiar spirits. And these spirits are just as their name says. They become familiar with you. They record what you like, what you dislike, where you go, what you do, the things you say, the people you like, the people you don't like. And based upon that, they plot against you. They plan your destruction based upon what they anticipate that you're going to do. I was watching a nature show some time ago, and they were talking about crocodiles. And I found it fascinating because they said a crocodile's brain is about the size of your thumb. And my thought was, how can he be so deadly when he has such a small brain? And they said his ability to hunt and destroy was the result of his powers of observation. They said a crocodile will notice a wallaby come to the creek to drink water at a particular time of the day. And they said, if that wallaby comes to the side of that creek the next day at the same time, he records that in his mind. And he develops a pattern. And he said, once that pattern is established in his brain, he says he then sinks to the bottom of the creek near the edge. And he said he slows his heartbeat down to as slow as one beat per minute. And he waits for that opportune time for that wallaby to show up at the edge of that creek to drink at the same time. And when he does, he then whips that powerful tail, snaps it, and shoots right out of the water and grabs him. Not because he is fast, not because he is exceptionally smart, all based upon his ability to anticipate what that animal was going to do. Similarly, the enemy plots against us based upon his anticipation of what we are going to do. Now, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, that scripture can sometimes can be a little bit confusing, because there are some people who say, well, I don't hear the Spirit. I can't understand what the Spirit is saying. And does that mean I'm not a child of God? No. Led in that word is used in the present continuous sense, which means those who are continuously led by the Spirit. And that word son does not mean simply a male child. It is from a Greek word, huios, which means a child mature enough to take on adult family privileges and responsibilities. So what the scripture is saying is those who are continually led by the Spirit of God are mature children of God. And this is what God wants from his children, to be led by his Spirit continually. I used to tell my children when they were young, I said, life is too short to learn everything you need to learn through trial and error. You know, because children have this tendency of when you tell them things, you know, don't do that. This is not good for you. They say, well, I'll just try it for myself. I'll see for myself. But I used to tell them, I said, life is just too short to learn everything you have to learn by trial and error. Sometimes you simply have to listen. Take it from someone who's been there. Listen to someone who is trying to save you from trouble. You see, the more we submit ourselves to the will of the Holy Spirit, the more we are able to accomplish for the kingdom of God, and the more we will be protected from the plans of the enemy. The word for TGH for 2020 was expansion. And some of you are probably a bit confused, because when you heard expansion, you thought, wow, we're going to really blow up and I'm really going to accomplish things. But instead, you got what appeared to be chaos. But the thing you have to understand about expansion is that foundation work is also a part of expansion. When you get ready to expand upon a building or an edifice, what you have to do is sometimes you look at the foundation and you say, it's not strong enough to hold what I'm about to put on it. And so you begin to like knock this wall out, and then you begin to shore it up with some beams here. And then there's a lot of dust and a lot of construction going on. And you say, oh God, you said expansion for 2020, but all I see, Lord God, is chaos in my life. But what God is doing, it was just simply building your foundation for what is about to happen in 2021. I thought I knew how I was going to close this message, but this morning, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and tell me, he said, 2021 is an opportune time for TGH and for many individually. He said, and in order to receive the fullness of what he has for this body and for you, the Lord said, you're going to have to move in his timing. Not just hear, but obey. Not just obey, but obey without hesitation. Because the Lord wants to steer you away from the plots of the enemy and make you effective in his kingdom. And the Lord said, and I don't know who this was for, he said, someone he has been telling to end a relationship. But you said, I want to wait to see if things get better or when it's convenient. And the Lord says, that's just an example of him trying to save you from serious trouble down the road. In business, there's something that they call risk and reward. And many people have become wealthy because they took a big risk. It didn't make sense to them, but they followed what they sensed that they needed to do, and it resulted in great reward. There are some things the Spirit is going to lead some of you to do in 2021, and it's going to seem risky. If I do this, you'll say, I may lose everything. There's always a risk in stepping out of your comfort zone. But if you're willing to obey the Spirit and take that risk, the Lord said the reward will be greater than your wildest expectation. TGH is embarking on a fast starting this evening. And I would encourage everyone to do it. You see, when God speaks, he does not speak to our souls. Our soul is the seat of our emotions. It's also referred to our heart. But the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and is deceitful above all. Your heart, your emotions will fool you, will deceive you. So what God does is he gave us a spirit. The one thing that we have that separates us from the animals and everything else, it enables us to communicate with him. He speaks to your spirit man. But the problem so often is that we are so full of our routines and the things that make us happy and our relationships and social media. And we get so caught up in our soulish existence that we don't hear God speaking to our spirit man. And God gives everyone the ability to hear his voice. That's why he said, my sheep know my voice. And another they will not follow. And the one thing that fasting will do is that it will suppress. It'll bring under your soulish man. It'll bring it under subjection through denial, and it will enable you to hear the voice of God more clearly. God has great things for TGH in 2021. There will be people that come in to TGH from the greater community, and you see, you could just step outside these doors and see the enemy at work in the lives of the people. But what you see on the outside is just an outward display of what is going on in their homes and in their lives. And when they come into TGH, they're going to need answers. They're not going to need your favorite scripture, but they're going to have a word from the Lord. And you're going to have to give it to them. And so what God has done in 2020 is that he has built and shored up the foundation. And he has done things in your life to strengthen you, to drive you closer to him. And now he wants us to mature and hear his voice so that we can be effective in the work he has called us to in Harlem and in the world. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. And Lord, even in 2020, Lord God, sometimes, Lord God, we just had to convince ourselves, Lord, that you indeed loved us because, Lord, so many things seemingly have gone wrong. But Lord, you still are good and you carried us through it. Now, Lord, as we, Lord, embark upon this new year, we pray, Lord God, that you will strengthen us and lead us, Lord, to our destiny. Because, Lord, this is the year that you have chosen, Lord God, to give us, as Pastor Kay said, our why. This is, Lord God, your opportune time. This, Lord God, is your Kairos time, Lord God, 2021. We've been through the proverbial hell, and now, Lord, you are ready, Lord God, to move in our lives and to bring us into our purpose. And we ask, Lord God, that you will help us, that you will give us discipline, Lord God. Even during this fast, Lord God, we ask that you will give us, Lord, the discipline. The discipline, Lord, to put down certain things, Lord, and to spend time with you so that you may speak to us. That you may speak to us regarding our future, regarding our lives, regarding our relationships, regarding our professions, Lord, regarding our finances. For you said, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will lead us in all truth. And for these things, Lord, we say thank you. For we trust you and believe that you are able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen.